The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
All right. God is good, huh?
Yes, He is.
Man, we've had some awesome, awesome services here at Bethel Worship Center. A lot of things have been going on. A lot of things in the future are going to be happening. We have expectation that God is going to be moving in an incredible way among His people. We need renewal. We need revival in our land. We need to see Jesus Christ lifted up. We need leaders that will proclaim that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. You know, there's a fierce battle going on in the Republican Party and the Democrat Party who's going to be the nominee for president in both of those parties. I want to say this. Pray. Whatever your, you know, I don't know what your affiliation as far as the party goes. But whatever it is, pray earnestly. Because we should not be voting for an individual based on a party affiliation. We should be voting for an individual who will best lead and direct this country in a godly manner. So let us pray and seek the face of God. Because things are happening. This is a spiritual battle as much as it is a political battle. We need to recognize that. We need to see what's happening. And we as believers need to be on our knees praying that God will move for us and for our country. Amen. With that said, we're going to be talking about the way of the Lord this morning. That's my series that I've started. Proverbs 10:29 says, "The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity." Iniquity is ongoing and active sin. Iniquity is more than just making a mistake. Iniquity is a desire to do what is against God's will. Iniquity is something that grows up inside of people. People do not start out with iniquitous sin in their life, but they end up with iniquitous sin in their life. Being addicted to pornography is an example. Being addicted to anger, being addicted to just about anything is an example. Somewhere along the way, you did this thing, you went in the wrong direction, you committed a sin, but it becomes an iniquity inside of you that grows up. So what God is saying to us here, destruction will come to those who work iniquity. God does not want destruction to come in your life. He wants you to have strength. He wants to encourage you. The Word of God says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Isn't that incredible? God has promised that He's going to order your steps, but we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And this message that I'm sharing with you is about hearing what the Holy Spirit has to say to us. Because we make some stupid mistakes sometimes because we're not listening to the Holy Spirit. God has ordered our steps, but that doesn't mean we can't step outside of those steps that He's ordered. You know, my uncle used to have cows. When we kids went out to play in the pasture field, you had to be careful where you step. There's a lot of things you could step in you didn't like very well. And sometimes those things, they would dry up. You know what I'm talking about, right? Come on, we're all, most of us knows what cow patties are. You can even burn those things, you know that? Yeah, make a fire out of them. But when we were out there playing in that pasture field, we had to be very careful where we stepped. We watched. Because when you stepped, particularly when you step in a fresh one. Oh, gosh. You didn't like it much. And that's our life, you know, if we're not careful. God has ordered our steps, but it does. If we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, we just might step in the wrong place. I'm reminded of a story of a man by the name of Larry Walters. He had a lifelong dream of being a pilot. And when he grew up, he went to the Air Force, and because of eyesight, he couldn't become a pilot. He got out of the Air Force, and he still wanted to be a pilot, but he just couldn't do it. So one day he was sitting on his outside, and he was watching jets go by, and he got this bright idea. So he went down to the local Army surplus store, and he bought some balloons. Now, these were not just regular balloons. These were weather balloons. They were 4 foot across. And he bought several of them. I don't remember exactly how many, but quite a few. And he bought helium. He took his lawn chair, and he attached these balloons to his lawn chair. He tied the lawn chair off to the bumper of his Jeep. And he filled these balloons up with helium. It must have been a lot of helium. It cost him a lot to do this. And his lawn chair, he sat down in his lawn chair. He had packed a lunch. He also decided he was going to take a BB gun with him because he thought he could shoot those balloons once he got to the height that he wanted. And eventually, he'd just gradually come back to Earth. He thought what was going to happen was that he would just gradually go up and just eventually get to a height of several hundred feet and just lounge out there. But when he cut himself loose, it didn't happen the way he expected. He shot up, straight up in the air, and he kept going. He reached an altitude of 11,000 feet. He was afraid to shoot those balloons at that altitude. He eventually drifted into LAX airport, the area where the planes are coming in. And one pilot happened to see him, and he radioed to the tower. And he said, "Hey, we got a man out here in a lawn chair floating around, and he's got a gun in his lap." Well, didn't take long that the authorities were notified, and they started out to try to catch him and try to bring him down. It took a long time. It was very difficult because every time the helicopters got close to him, it'd blow him away. So it was a huge task. Cost a lot of money to get this guy down. And finally, they hauled him in, hauled him down to the ground. Of course, when they did, the reporters were there. Everybody wanted to know what was going on. And a reporter ran up to him and put a microphone in his face, and he said, "Larry, why did you do it?" And he paused for a minute, and he looked at the reporter, and he said, "Well, a man can't just sit around." What a crazy response. A man can't just sit around. Well, that's true. A man can't just sit around. But, man, if we're not careful, hopefully none of us are going to do something that crazy. But we will do some crazy things. I'm guilty. And I'm not going to tell you about them. Some of you know. I've made lots of silly mistakes in my life, in my ministry, in everything that I've done. And it's always been because I wasn't following the leading of the Lord. I wasn't walking in the steps that He ordered. But I want you to take heart, everyone, because I want you to know this. You have, if you're a believer in Christ, you have the Comforter living inside of you. You have the compass that God has given you to keep you on point all the time. All the time. All right, well, we're going to look at some of this morning. First of all, we're looking at Psalms chapter 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Now, we talked last week pretty extensively about this. Deuteronomy 10 12 says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." I tried my best to give you my understanding of what the soul is and what I believe is a biblical interpretation of the soul. The Hebrew word is nephesh. It means self, life, creature, person, appetite, mind, living being, desire, emotion, passion. It's your brain, your will, your emotions. The heart here that he's talking about is the inner man, mind, will, heart, soul, understanding. It's also referred to as spirit in the Old Testament and New Testament. Now, here's what, I'm just going to review a little bit because I want you to understand. In Genesis, it tells us that God created man out of the dust of the earth, and he did what? He breathed the breath of life. He spirited into man, spirit of life. He brought him to life. Without that spirit, you're dead. You're nothing. So now I'm not talking about this body. I'm talking about your soul would not live. Your soul realm. So it's very important that this soul and spirit connection happened. That's how God brought human beings to life. Our soul is dead without the spirit, and a spirit does not have consciousness without the soul. There was a marriage that took place there. Now, here's what we need to understand, that we are a body, or we are a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. We are a tripartite being, just like our God. We're created in his image. And the thing that we understand from this is that there are three in one: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But they're all God. Amen? They're the one true God. The scripture tells us. You have you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. They're all three you. The Father has a purpose, the Son has a purpose, the Holy Spirit has a purpose. Amen? Your soul has a purpose, spirit has a purpose, and your body has a purpose. And because we're fallen flesh, sometimes that purpose gets distorted from the things of God. Amen? Okay. We really have to make sure we're laying the right foundation. Job said there is a spirit in man, and the breath of the Almighty gives him understanding, because Job understood. That's where the life was. Spirit is ruach in the Hebrew, wind, breath, mind, animation, exuberance, vigor. So here's what I want to try to bring home so that we can understand this, is that the soul, you know, it's our brain, our will, our emotions, it's attached to our body. Spirit is our life force, our heart. It's also emotions. You know, science will tell you that physically there are emotions that come from your heart. There are things that are released in your heart, not just in your brain, but there are endorphins, and there's chemicals that are released from your heart that cause you to have emotions. It's connected. So here's what we have. We have a connection of the soul with the body, and we have a connection with the spirit with the soul. And because of that, there's a huge battle going on inside of you right now. And it will go on for the rest of your life as you live in this physical life. Let's take a look at the spirit, soul, and body in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. This is what Paul said. "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify," which means purify, "you completely, and your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Spirit is pneuma, it's a vital force. Soul is psuche, the seat of feelings, desire, affections, aversion. Body, of course, is soma. It's the body of both men and of animals. When a person becomes born again, you are immediately thrust into this battle that I was talking about. When you become born again, your spirit is born again. Your soul is enlightened to the things of God. And you're in this battle because now your spirit, with the unction of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, is trying to get you to do the right things, the good things, the godly things, the righteous things. That's your soul connection to your spirit. But your body, your flesh, we would call it, Paul called it, he used the word sarx, the Greek word, which he was talking about flesh or body or carnal. In one place he calls it carnal. We'll look at that in just a moment. Carnality. But what we have is a fleshly desire to do our own thing. How many in here say amen to that? Amen. Come on. That's who we are. That's how God created us. He didn't intend us to be that way, but now we're there because of the fallen state that we are in. So now this body, this battle that's going on between us is a battle between our soul and spirit and our soul and body. The body's trying to have preeminence, and the spirit is trying to have preeminence in your life. And guess what? It's up to you. It is completely and totally up to you. Give you a good example of what I was talking about. I heard a story a few years ago about a little boy that was, he's being a little bit rebellious with his mom. And he stood up on the chair and mom said, sit down. And he didn't do it. She said, sit down. He still wouldn't do it. She said, if you do not sit down, there's going to be huge consequences. I'm going to have to do something serious. Folded his arms, stuck out his lip, and sit down. And he looked at his mom, and he said, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside. Now listen, he had a mother that was telling him what to do. And I don't want to get off track here, but parents, that's why you're the adult. That's why you're the parent. Your children don't know right from wrong. They don't know that standing on that chair could get them hurt. They could fall off and get hurt. So you have to be the parent. You have to be the parent that says no to your teenager when they want to go hang out with the wrong people. You've got to be the parent. You've got to be the adult. You've got to be the one who has a godly insight into the situation and stop allowing your children to control the situation because you're afraid they won't like you. Your children are not always going to like you. I can't tell you how many times my two daughters, my son, would gang up and say they don't like us. They don't like me. They don't like Tammy. They don't like their mom. They don't like their dad when they were younger. I mean, even when they became teenagers, there was times where they said, why are you like this? Other parents don't treat their kids that way. They let them go to any party they want to. They let them go wherever they want to. They let them do whatever they want to. But we're not like other parents. You know, the old thing, if your friends jumped off the cliff, would you follow them? You know, we've all heard that one, right? Well, it doesn't work. Because they will. If they're in that group and they're being pressured by their peers, they will. They'll do whatever their peers are doing most of the time. And we try to encourage them to be strong and not be susceptible to that peer pressure. But listen, if you allow them to be put in that situation, you're putting huge temptation on them. Okay, I got to get off that. But anyhow, We got to go in the direction here where we're talking about this. We have to understand where we are in this battle that's going on inside of us as believers so that we can do what God wants us to do. The little boy had his mother saying, sit down. We have the Holy Spirit speaking to our spirit, dealing with our soul realm, our mind, our will, our emotions, whatever you want to call it, our brain. In the physical, it's our brain. There's much more to it than that. We know that. But we have the Holy Spirit saying, sit down. Sit down. Now, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit will not force you to sit down, or He'll not force you to go this direction or that direction or straight ahead, but He'll speak to you. And you, if you are a believer in here this morning, you know that the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You've heard His voice. You can't hide from it. It's that still small voice that tells you to do the right thing. Amen? Romans 7:18 says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, Paul says, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. He's saying in his flesh, he can't find the right way to do things. If he lets his flesh speak to him, Paul's given us an example here. He said, even I have this battle that goes on. Paul was the greatest apostle that ever lived. He wrote so much of the New Testament and he walked faithfully. Miracles happened. Paul did great work for the kingdom. But he says, if I let my flesh rule me, it will take me in the wrong direction. Remember, the same Paul that said this, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, is the same Paul that said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So here, that's where he was telling us there's a difference. If we're allowing this flesh to rise up and lead it and direct our life, we're going to go in the wrong direction. But if we listen to the Spirit man inside of you that's being directed by the Holy Spirit that loves you, that is your comforter, that directs you. So here's what I just want to say this about the soul. The soul is who you are. You can see, you know, we can try to break it down at soul, spirit, mind, heart. You know, I can give you different definitions for each and every one, but the reality is the soul is your mind, your consciousness connected to your spirit. It's who you are, and it's who you are going to be forever. Some of you are wondering if that's what you want, right? If you are who you are and who you're going to be. Even these bodies are going to be regenerated. And we're going to be who we are. Jesus is our example of that. He died, he went to the grave, he brought back to life. Guess what? When they saw him, in most cases, they knew who he was. It was Jesus. I'm going to know you. When Jesus comes back and we set up this kingdom on earth, this 1,000-year reign where we're going to reign with Jesus Christ, we're going to know each other. Praise God, and we're going to party together in the kingdom. Yes, sir. And you're going to be given responsibility in the kingdom. Yes. Not based on how wonderful or how glorious you seem to be in this natural world, but based on your faithfulness to the kingdom of God. Yes. Which means that I will get just as much reward if I do what I'm told to do as Billy Graham will get. Yes. Yes. 'Cause he's doing what he was told to do. That's and right. did. Right. And many other nationally known ministers. Though there will be pastors and people in the kingdom of God that just tended to small groups of people or we're just faithful to go feed the poor and minister to people in prison and do the things that God has called us to do, that we'll get great rewards. People will wonder, why? Because they were faithful to do what God called them to. Amen. All right, so that's, your soul is who you are. So you need to make sure you recognize that the converting of the soul is important. Not just the conversion, the spiritual conversion. Jesus said you must be born again. Hallelujah. I want to be born again. Everyone wants to be born again, but that's a supernatural spiritual conversion. This scripture says the law is perfect to converting the soul realm. That's your mind, your thoughts, your will, your emotions can be converted. Okay, now the second thing I want to look at is why do we want to convert the soul? Psalms 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I just want to repeat that again. Converting means, what converting is, it means to turn back to God, repent, turn back, turn from evil. Your soul realm, until you made Jesus Christ your personal Savior, your mind, your intellect was bombarded with the things of the world. You were conditioned to be a resident of this world. When you become born again as a believer in Jesus Christ, your spiritual rebirth, something also happens in your mind, in your area where your thinking and your consciousness is. Something happened there where you are not now more susceptible to the things of God. You hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. You understand the things that God wants you to understand. But you have a huge responsibility to expand your thinking in the realm of godliness. Proverbs 22:5 says, thorns and snares are in the way of the perverse. He who guards his soul will be far from them. Be far from what? Be far from thorns and snares. Anybody ever went out and picked berries? You know, picking berries, one of the things you have to encounter are the thorns. They're there. You have to watch for them. You have to learn how to step on the thorns and get them out of the way or move them out of the way. And inevitably, if you're picking berries, I have always got a thorn. Almost always. But the Word of God says, as we go through this life and we're picking some berries, and listen, God's berries are big, fat, juicy berries. Amen. Amen. They're for us. He wants us to. But we have to watch out for the thorns and the snares that are there too. So keep your eyes open. And it says it will keep them far from us. So praise God, there's going to be a patch of thorns over here in God's kingdom and a whole bunch of berries over here. All you got to do is stay away from the thorns. He's going to keep you far from them. How are we going to do this? How are we going to convert our soul? It's so important. Why do we need to convert the soul? Look with me in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. This is the first time I've asked you to open your Bibles or look at your iPads or phone or whatever this morning. I just want to take a real quick survey. How many use a Bible app on your phone or your iPad? Wow. A lot of you. Man, I'm just old school, outdated. Vicky's got her Bible. Praise God. Let's read this. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. There's that word. That's the word is sarx. And it means fleshly. As to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? Now here, let me give you a revelation. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're not supposed to act like mere men. You're supposed to be. The reality is, in the kingdom of God, you are to be spiritual. And the word spiritual here means belonging to a spirit, a being higher than man, but inferior to God. As a believer, now this is not something you want to tell your unbelieving friends, that you're higher than them, that you're better than them. You know, that's not something, and I'm not even trying to tell you that you're better than other people. I'm just telling you, according to God, in a spiritual sense, you are higher than just carnal man. You have something much more important inside of you than just a regular person. That's why we want everybody to come into the kingdom, because we want everybody to come up higher. Amen? All right. So he says here that he couldn't talk to them as spiritual beings. Although they were born again, guess what? They were acting like children, babes. They were carnal. They were allowing their flesh to rule them. They were having envy and strife and divisions among them. Boy, sure sounds like the Church of Jesus Christ today. Paul's still speaking to the church. Stop this. You're acting like babes. Let's grow up. Let's stop being children. It's time to become adults. Listen, you've been called to be warriors. It's no longer playground stuff. This is a battle. And this battle is waging inside of you. Who are you going to let win? Who's going to overcome in your life? Romans 8:7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. This is, once again, this carnal, sensuous nature of man will not subject itself to God except through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to allow ourselves to come to a place where we are kneeling. We are bowing to the will of the Spirit inside of us and overcome our own fleshly desires. That scripture in Thessalonians that I read, you can go ahead and put it back up there, 5:23. It's very important that we recognize what Paul is saying here. He's saying, I want you to be set apart. I want you to be cleansed, spirit, soul, and body. This is extremely important for us as believers. Paul wants us to understand that we can be blameless in every area of our life. Not only do you need to be born again, but you also need the conversion of the soul, which will affect the body. So the soul needs to be converted. These things that we were learning from Dr. Leaf, it was important stuff. Now, you know, I understand that some of the terms that she used was way over any just normal person. Unless you were schooled in the areas that she was, you know, some of the terminology. But I felt like she did a pretty good job of bringing it down to earth for us. For all of us to be able to understand. But what she wants us to understand is that the things that the Scripture teaches about the mind, about our thoughts, are proven to be accurate in the scientific field. They've proven that these things are real. So it's your whole person that God's concerned with. Born again, now he wants your soul to be converted. to line up with the Holy Spirit that is inside of him, you, me, of all of us as believers, so that we can be that perfect vessel. Now, when I use perfect very loosely. You all understand that, right? None of us are going to be perfect until Jesus comes back. But there is a certain level of perfection that we can attain to. And unless we're striving for it, we'll never get even close to it. We have to be striving. Many years ago, when the automobile industry was just beginning, a guy had a Ford. He had purchased a Ford vehicle in Detroit. And he was driving along and something happened. It just stopped working. And he put the hood up and he was working on it. And as he was working on it, suddenly somebody pulled up in a limousine. And the guy had a suit on. And he got out and he went over and he asked the guy, he said, "Hey, what's wrong?" He said, "Well, my Ford's not working properly." And the guy said, "Okay, you go inside." And he took off his jacket, rolled up his sleeves. And the guy got inside and he did something and boom, started right up. Guy got out and he said, "Man, I sure thank you. What, you know, it's incredible that you fixed it so quickly. I really appreciate it." He said, "Well, my name's Henry Ford. And this is my baby. And when it doesn't work right, I hate to see it sitting along the side of the road, not running the way I created it to run." Our God is saying the same thing. He has created us to fire on all cylinders. That's why it's so important that we understand that there's more to this than just the spiritual conversion when we receive Christ as our personal Savior. There's a converting of the soul that needs to take place so that we as a human being, our whole body, soul, and spirit becomes everything that God wants us to be. Perfect in His sight, in His ways. All right, the last point that I have. How to convert the soul. I don't want to just leave you with these kind of things that need to happen. I want you to know that the soul needs to be converted. I've told this story before. There was an Eskimo many years ago when the gold rush was going on in Alaska. He had a white dog and a black dog, and he would go around from camp to camp, and people would bet on which dog was going to win. And it seemed like they could never get the right dog. And this guy just hauled in all kinds of money. Many years later, he was asked by somebody that was living in one of those camps early on. He said, "How is it that one time you'd come and a white dog would win, and next time you'd come and a black dog would win? And we could never figure out." And he said, "Well, it was like this. The dog that I wanted to win, I would feed regularly. The one that I didn't want to win, I would put in a pen and not feed at all. And it became very weak." He knew exactly which dog was going to win every time. There's a dog fight going on inside of you. The one that wins will be the one you feed. Amen. Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even division of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Let me read that from the NIV. "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." Listen, this cuts right down through exactly what I'm talking about. He's saying, listen, the word of God is what's going to cause you to be able to keep your thought life in order, to keep your physical life in order, to keep your spiritual life in order. It's the Word of God that causes you to be set apart, that causes your soul to be converted. It's the Word. The enemy through the world system has been converting the souls of people for eons. People who are not receiving the Word of God, not born again, not walking. Even some who are born again are not being renewed in their mind with the Word of God. Therefore, the enemy is controlling them. Listen, I just told you that story about the two dogs. What are you watching on television? You may be feeding the wrong dog. What are you listening to on the radio? What are you reading? What kind of a lifestyle do you have? Now, this is, I know I'm meddling this morning, but I want you to understand this world system has been set up to deceive you, to cause you to think that it's a lot more exciting and pleasurable to go the way of the world than it is to serve the living God. In reality, what you get when you go the way of the world is a lot of pain and anguish and destruction in your life. And what you get when you go the way of the Lord is strength, power, protection, love, regeneration in your life. That's what this thing's all about. Is recognizing that your soul needs to be converted regularly. You must get into the Word of God. You must read good things. You must watch good things. And I don't know if you can find any good things on television. I even try to watch sports. My goodness, the things I see while I'm trying to watch, the commercials, the cheerleaders, and all that stuff. My gosh. I think, Lord, I guess he's probably convicted me, isn't he? Wow. This world system is set up to deceive you. God's Word is established to enlighten you. Hallelujah. Listen, we as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to recognize who we are in Christ. We've got to stop going around letting the world tell us who we are, and we must recognize that we are kings and princes and princesses. We are priests in the kingdom of God. Now, that what I just told you earlier was the reality of what God thinks of you. You're higher than the average person. You're not as high as God. Don't ever think that. But you're higher. And because of that, we need to start thinking of ourselves in a more realistic, scriptural way. I know people, Christians, I say, how you doing? Oh, I'm vertical. And you're also miserable. Oh, I'm above ground. Well, hallelujah. Barely. Look, God wants to renew your mind. He wants to renew your thinking. He wants you to recognize who you are in Christ so that you can walk this spiritual walk out that affects other people's lives. And if you're going out there in the world and you're whining and complaining and saying how horrible your life is, you're not much of a witness for the kingdom of God. You got to rise up and recognize that God has blessed you. You're blessed in the city. You're blessed in the country. Hallelujah. I like that part because that's where I live. Blessed. Otis and Ivy just brought a home in the country. Moved from the Athens into the to outside of Athens to around Stroudsrun. Yeah. Praise God. So they've joined us country folks. Now listen, you got to understand, you were raised in Columbus, Ivy was as well. So, I mean, these guys, they're city. Doesn't make him any different. You know, we all love them. We don't care. But their culture was different than our culture. Now, I'm going to say something here that, you know, I didn't intend that in this message, but I think it's very important. You do not understand how much of a culture shock and how gracious they have been to come into our culture and embrace us as believers in Jesus Christ, as brothers and sisters. And I'll say this, some of you have not received it very well. You didn't realize that it was a cultural thing that you were looking at, a cultural difference, and you were critical. Now, probably no one's sitting in here, but some have in the past. Listen, this is something that we need to understand. We need to embrace our brothers and sisters. We need to embrace people so that they can come to the kingdom of God. We're going to be different culturally. My goodness, you put me in the middle of the city, it'd be bad. I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know where to go. I'd be lost. Give me a pasture field and some woods, a bunch of animals. I can live with that. But you know what? If God called me, he said, look, I'm going to take you, I'm going to put you right in the middle of Cleveland. I wouldn't want to, but I would. Because I want to be obedient to my God. It's not about my comfort. It's not about my culture. It's about the kingdom of God. Wow. Well, I'm going to move on. I don't want to club you anymore this morning. You know, here's something I learned a long time ago. Now, I'm going to encourage everybody in here. I want you to read the Word of God because the Word of God is powerful. I just read that scripture. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God will change your thinking. But, you know, sometimes what you need to do is put that Sports Illustrated down or that, what's the women's magazine? Somebody help me out here. Good Housekeeping. Okay. Put that thing aside. And not that either one of them are bad. But you need to put that thing aside and pick up some godly authors that's going to help you change the way you think, like Dr. Leaf. Like, you know, early on in my Christian walk, I was introduced to people like Zig Ziglar. Anybody remember Zig Ziglar? Zig, oh man, he was incredible. He was a motivational speaker, but he was a born-again Christian, and he didn't back up on it. He told people wherever he went that Jesus was his Lord and Savior. I love Zig Ziglar, but some of the things that I learned from Zig Ziglar was he said, if you want to change your perspective of who you are, you need to stand in front of the mirror every morning and speak to yourself. Right. Look yourself right in the eye and tell yourself you are above and not beneath. You are the head and you're not the tail. You are a child of the Most High God. The greater one lives inside of you. You can accomplish anything, and you will. You'll go into this day and accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. And things like that. He just encouraged you to speak to yourself properly. Self-talk. Now listen, we all do self-talk, and most of it's very destructive. We have to learn to talk to ourselves properly. That's what the Word of God does. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It will divide your mind, your spirit, your body, your soul, and all those things. It will cause you to think properly and have godly thoughts. It will direct your life. Joshua 1:8-9 says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. You see what I'm talking about this morning? I'm talking about you being prosperous and having good success. How many of you want to be prosperous? Okay, we've got a couple in here, just they don't want to be prosperous. Okay. It's all right. You're still welcome here, but the rest of us are going to prosper. We're going to go on. The prosperity gets a bad rap because of all the prosperity teaching. But listen, I want to prosper. I want to prosper in my career. I want to prosper in my family. I want to prosper in my finances. I want to prosper in my relationships. I want to keep a balance in all those things. I want to prosper, and there's nothing wrong with prospering. Now, if that's all you can think about is prospering, big house, big car, big bank account, you got problems. You need to be thinking about godly balance and prosperity in your life. There's more to it than material things. Prosperity, the greatest kind of prosperity is family prosperity, as far as I'm concerned. And then church prosperity and relationship prosperity. I want to prosper in those things. I want to enjoy relationships. There's nothing more fulfilling to me than having my family around me. The second most fulfilling thing to me is having my church family around me. I love it when we have staff meetings and we sit around and encourage each other and talk to each other, share our life. I love the life groups because we are encouraging and lifting each other up. We get to know each other. We deal with issues in each other's life. We know that we're just human and we're all going through things, but we encourage each other. Those are the most important areas that I want to prosper in. He goes on to say, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed." Don't allow the enemy to scare you. Don't be dismayed by the roaring of that toothless lion. Jesus is our Lion of Judah. The enemy is a roaring lion. He goes about seeking whom he may devour. And he can only devour you if you let him dice you up in pieces, because he doesn't have any teeth to chew you with. But if he can dice you up, then he just scoops you up and swallows you. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Our enemy is not going to defeat you. Our enemy is not going to defeat us. He's a defeated foe. He's under our feet. That's part of proper thinking. That's part of converting your soul, is having that kind of thinking. The word meditate means more than just think about. The Hebrew word means to moan, growl, utter, muse, mutter, meditate, devise, plot. It also means speak. Your words are very powerful. The word of God is very clear. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Many years ago, I read a couple Christian books. I got to tell you, when I came out of high school, I didn't want to see another book for the rest of my life. God turned my world upside down, and he taught me that reading is fundamentally necessary to expand your knowledge. If you're not reading, you're probably not learning. So the most important thing I encourage you to read is this. If that's where you have to start, read it. Get in it. Study it. It will change your thinking. But I also encourage you to look at some Christian authors, good Christian authors. One of the first books that I ever read was Hung by the Tongue by Francis P. Martin. Talked about how your words affect your life. The Tongue, a Creative Force by Charles Capps. These were people that, you know, they were well-known authors at the time, and they helped me to not only understand the Word of God, but to be able to apply it in a way that it was significant to me. Romans 12:1 says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your body has to be presented to God as well as everything else. And do not be conformed to this world. That's what I was talking about with, you know, all this, these things we watch on TV, things we read, things we listen to. Man, I am so disgusted with ESPN that they fired Kurt Schilling for merely saying that it's ridiculous to have transgender bathrooms. The man was standing up for our families. And they fired him. That's the world we live in. People, you better wake up. The enemy's on the prowl. Unless we renew our minds, we're going to fall into it. The system is in place. The enemy is coming. God is on the throne. We've got to rise up as an army and vanquish our foe in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the enemy and his thought processes and the things that he's encouraging people to do. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, what? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How are we going to do that? By renewing our mind. That's why I'm encouraging you. Read the Word. That's why I'm encouraging you. Read Christian authors. Listen to Christian radio. Listen and watch Christian television. Man, if you want to get some news, get your news from alternative news sources, not the nightly news. You're being deceived. Your words are extremely powerful. In the 1990s, a Japanese doctor by the name of Masaru Emoto started doing some experiments. This is a picture of him. He started, he did several different types of experiments, but this one in particular, he did with water. He took two glasses of water, and on the one glass, he wrote negative things. You're nasty. I hate you. You're ugly. And then on the other one, he wrote, hold the picture right there. On the other one, he wrote, good things. I love you. You're beautiful. And every day, he and his assistants would go in and speak to those glasses of water. Now, this seems pretty weird, doesn't it? Got to talk to water? And he would say the things that he had written on those glasses. At the end of several days, I can't remember exactly how many days it was many days, he froze that water, and he cut them in slices, and he had the crystals analyzed. This is a picture of the one that he spoke negative to. That's what the water did. Turned out pretty negative, ugly looking. Go ahead. And this is what it looked like when he spoke positive things to him. Now, I got to tell you, I want to make sure everybody understands this. This guy's experiments are highly, they're controversial. Some people think that it's pseudoscience. And I'm just sharing with you what he says he found. It doesn't matter to me, because I can tell you this. What he came up with, it lines up with the Word of God. It's evident that you can renew your mind with the Word of God. You can change your thinking. Now, if he is right, this is extremely significant because you are made up of about 60% water in your body. So when you speak to your spouse and you say good things and lovely things and awesome things and tell them how beautiful and wonderful and how great they are, guess what you're doing? You're creating something beautiful. But when you speak negative into your kid's life or your family's life or other people's lives, you're creating ugly. That's the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. That's why you need to convert your soul. Stand with me. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you just to bow your head. Praise God. Now I want to ask anybody to raise their hand, because I know all of us need to continue. If you know this stuff and you've been working on it, you still need a reminder from time to time that we need to control our thoughts, that we need to convert our soul with the Word of God. So I'm just going to pray a general prayer over everybody. Father God, in the name of Jesus, help us to recognize how important it is to convert our soul. We're born again. We have the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us. We want to be led by your Spirit. We want to be directed by your Word, Lord. Help us to apply, to learn, to read, to grow in your Word, to learn, to read things that Christians are encouraging us to do, to listen to the right things, to watch the right things. Help us, Father God, to be about your kingdom business so that we will recognize the hour that we are in. This is a late time. The enemy is stirring, but the power of God is greater than anything the enemy can throw at us. However, Father, we must have our minds on you. We must have our thoughts connected to you. We must allow this Holy Spirit to stir inside of us. Today, Father God, as we go from this place, help us to rise up. Help us to be the army that you want us to be. Help us to do your work and establish your kingdom. Thank you that you have ordered our steps, and we're going to watch where we go because you have ordered the steps. Thank you for the converting of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.